Hi, I'm Matt Heath, and this is my friend Jeremy Wells, and welcome to our daily podcast, which we farted out sometime between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. this morning.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by MyRepublic. Even if you are listening to this courtesy of another provider, they won't hold it against you. How's that for knowing no limits? What great New Zealanders they are.
And don't forget to subscribe, slag us off, and give us a 5-star review.
Well, here's Lee from Pukekohe. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. How are you guys going?
Good, thanks. Can we hang up on you, Lee?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. What would you like with that?
I'm wanting a double manual rod lift.
Oh, Jesus. So we tried that. We've tried this before, and you can see the video at the Hauraki Breakfast Facebook page, and, man, my eyeballs nearly popped out of my head trying to do it. I mean, Rog, he just sits in the pocket with that laugh, but if it's not a natural laugh for you, it really freaking hurts.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lee, we did a video, actually, for the Radio Awards, which featured Rog's head in a glass box on our desk and a futuristic radio station called Hauraki, which had Matt and I on it, plus Rog. He was acting and he was doing his laugh, but it wasn't his laugh.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, he didn't quite do it.
He couldn't do it. He couldn't pretend to do it. So it's a real laugh for Rog.
It comes from his soul, that laugh, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Can we ever listen to Rog's laugh? How do you get in that zone? I'll give it a go. Here we go.
I'll go at the same time.
Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
Clear the lines.
The agenda.
Poke my eyeball back into my head. Matt and Jerry Show Agenda is a communal conversation starters. Ring us with your opinion anytime during the agenda on 0800 Hauraki. Later in the show, we look into a Dunner's bomb scare that was never going to be a bomb because it was in Dunedin and it turned out to be a cake. Soon, America's Cup grandstand wankers get nasty. But now, political scandal. Bill told on Todd.
And Prime Minister Bill English has admitted he went to police about Clutha Southland MP Todd Barclay secretly recording his staff members. Mr English told the media yesterday, "The substance of my statement to the police is that he told me there were recordings of his staff." Mr Barclay continues to deny allegations of workplace bullying and says he completely refutes claims he made the secret recordings. Uh-oh.
Couple of points of this, Jerry. Firstly, did you know that Bill English's real name's Simon?
No.
Because I saw the police, police statement that he made, and at the top it's Simon William English is his actual name, so he's actually Simon.
Didn't know that.
He's not Bill, he's Simon.
He's a much better Bill than he is a Simon.
Yeah, I wonder why he changed his name to Bill from Simon.
Well,
Bill English, Simon English.
William. Obviously, maybe his family do that thing. I know a few people like this who they name their kids one thing and then they go by their second name.
Well, look at Lee Hart, his real name's Christopher. Or what about Grot Lane, his real name's Jamie. You know?
That's right.
So it's interesting, isn't it? A lot of people do that. Yeah, I mean, you'd be Drummond if you went for your middle name, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I'm Jeremy James Drummond Wells. You'd be Henry. Peter. Would you be Henry or Peter?
I don't know. I reckon I'd go Henry. Henry Heath. Actually, I should go run with Henry Heath. That rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, Henry Heath.
I'm going to be Henry Heath from now on.
Henry Heath gives you a little bit more credit, but you can't really quite change your name like that. Interesting situation, though, this with MP Todd Barclay, the youngest MP, 26.
Yeah.
Last night on One News, they were saying this situation is untenable.
Yeah.
This is an untenable situation. I think the Prime Minister is going to find this situation is untenable. And if the media starts saying that the situation is untenable, in the end, it becomes untenable.
Well, it's interesting because Peter Gow was saying the thing on the other channel. He's going, the PM looks weak.
Yeah.
Looks weak. And Todd's probably going to have to go. And you're like, really?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like it's Clutha. I mean, obviously, that was where Simon English was the MP for about 17 or 18 years, Clutha Southland.
Yeah.
And apparently, in that office, the woman that's part of this dispute, she was there all the time because Simon English was always in Wellington. So she sort of ran the office. And you imagine the situation where a young 24-year-old gets elected in, and you've been running the office, and Bill's on the list now. He's not, doesn't have to be the MP for that area. And this 24-year-old comes in and starts making changes and making and difference and being your boss when you're much older than him.
Glenys. Her name was Glenys.
Yeah, so I reckon Glenys. Yeah. I reckon that was obviously going to be tension between Glenys and Simon. I mean, 24-year-old MP, that's something, isn't it?
It is. But obviously Glenys has been saying things about Simon. He's done the old drop the phone on the desk, record what she's been saying situation.
But the punishing old-fashioned dictaphone.
I think it was a phone. I think it was just...
No, it was a dictaphone.
Was it a dictaphone?
It was a dictaphone.
Ah. Well, yeah, so this is a great situation, actually. It's actually made politics interesting.
Yeah.
Finally, something really, really low level. Yeah. I watched it with my kids, actually, last night on the news, and they were completely confused. They had no idea what was going on.
Well, that's why I was on the political TV show Banter last night with Tim Batt and David Seymour and Hayley Holt. And I said they were very, they said it was serious. And I said, I don't care. Because the thing is, I don't care. Like, I don't really care. Mm. And I think that I'm probably in touch with Middle New Zealand that'll sit back and go, well, I don't really care what happened in Clutha Southland.
Well, the Clutha Southland people didn't really care.
No. Well, they don't, because they will vote National even if National shut their province down and moved it to South Auckland.
Hey, you know, I've actually got a great story about Glenys.
Oh, are you looking to...
A vaguely related personal story.
Shoehorn in a...
A vaguely related personal story.
It's a hard thing to get into that one.
Well, in this situation, it's actually massively related because it relates to Glenys.
Well, should we come back with that?
The Hauraki Breakfast with Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells.
A vaguely related personal story.
I certainly did. And as I said before, it involves the Clutha Southland Electoral Office, formerly of Bill English. And Glenys Dixon, who was the woman who was recorded by 26-year-old MP for National, Todd Barclay, which is the situation that everyone was talking about yesterday. I was down covering the election for One News in 2008.
Yep.
At the election there. I don't know why they asked me to go down to Gore, but I went down to Gore and did some live crosses.
It was because because that was post your calling it the gay capital of New Zealand.
Is that why?
Possibly, yeah. You were sort of linked to Gore.
Right. Well, I went down there and it was 10 years since I had been down there with the old Havo. And we'd sat on the brown trout and labelled Gore the gay capital of New Zealand, much to the... I guess anger of a lot of locals down there, including the Mayor, Mary Ogg, who threatened to brandish us out with sticks and barbed wire if we ever came back to the town.
Do you know that their mayor now is called Tracy, but it's a man?
I've seen him.
Mm. Anyway, continue.
And so I went down there. We did some live crosses during the day. It was a nice day. And everything seemed to be fine, actually. And then we went to Bill English's headquarters for election night, where I did another couple of live crosses. And then then National won the election, and it was big celebrations there in Bill English's headquarters. And I got talking, after I'd finished the broadcast, I got talking to a few people, and we ended up saying, oh, we'll go into town and go to a bar in Gore. And yep. Just when we arrived, it was very late, it was like 1:30 or something, the bars were actually shutting. And there's a lot of drunk people around. And so we couldn't go into the bar, so I thought, well, I might as well go and grab a pie from the mobile service station there in Gore. So I went to get a pie with these guys who we'd met, one of them being, I think, Glenys Dixon's son, perhaps. And went into the mobile station. All of a sudden, there's all these cars that arrive. Next thing you know, I'm being accosted by one individual particularly who was kind of terrifying, sweaty individual, who started pushing me and saying to us, you called our town gay, didn't you? And I said, well... I mean, it was a joke, but yeah, it was sort of a 1997, 1998, and he wasn't impressed. He kept pushing me, shoving me, because he wanted to fight me, but I was clearly not going to fight him, firstly, because I can't fight, secondly, because he would have killed me.
Yeah.
And he was kind of scary and had a crazed look in his eye, I reckon maybe on the methamphetamine.
Oh, yes.
And so anyway, this kind of went on and on and on. This was inside the service station. Next thing you know, there's about 20 cars that have turned up to watch the furore. And kind of almost like C-grade celebrity baiting, and almost, it was like a spectacle.
Yeah.
He continued to push me I said to the service station owner, do you think maybe we could call the police here? This is not really working out very well. He just kept shoving me in the back, this guy. This went on for about 20 minutes. It just went on and on and on and on. In the end, the guys that I was with ended up sort of attacking the guy. Well, not attacking him, but there was a fight that broke out between this guy's friends and the people that I was there with. I was holed up in the service station. And then finally, after about 25 or 30 minutes, someone had called someone to come and pick us up, a woman, and an SS Commodore came and picked us up. And I believe it was Glenys Dixon.
Glenys Dixon, who's in the middle of this Todd Barkley recording for
That's right. And she very kindly swung through the forecourt.
Saved the day.
Saved the day, picked us up, and drove us to safety, although we were driving away from the forecourt. And at that point, the person that I was with, Hugh Sunday, who was directing the live crosses from our end, said, do you think perhaps they're following us? And we looked back and there was a procession of cars following us back to our motel. And then when we arrived at the motel, the cars arrived at the same time and proceeded to chuck bottles at us as we ran for cover.
Wow.
That was where I called Mark Sainsbury because I knew that he would still be awake because he was hosting the coverage. And Mark Sainsbury said, do we need to scramble the TVNZ chopper out of Christchurch and get you out of there? And I said, no, I think we're safe now and everything's fine.
Wow.
But yes, I sent some flowers to Glenys Dixon because... yeah, she really saved the day in that situation. We got a lot of time for her.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jerry, once again, you've managed to shoehorn in
a vaguely related personal story.
Well, that'd be fair. That was heavily related. Well, I'm glad you didn't die.
The agenda.
Later, political scandal in Clutha Southland electorate. Bill told on Todd. Did I sound like Barry Soper when I did that?
If you just get a little bit more of them through there. It's funny, when Barry Soper comes in with this question, you can't even see him on the mic. Maybe it's on News Hub, or maybe it's on the One News, but he'll come up with a question on mic and you immediately know it's Barry Soper.
Soon done as bomb scare, just some cake.
Of course.
When I heard that there was a bomb scare in St Kilda, I was like, that's not a bomb. Like, yeah. I've long said this. If there's a bomb scare in New Zealand, the police response should be, it's not a bomb.
Let's get back to that later because
it's not a bomb.
No.
It's never a bomb. It's been a bomb twice. It's been a bomb three times. There was one in Cuba Street. There was one in Whanganui.
Yes.
And there was one on the Rainbow Warrior. There's been three bombs in the history of New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But now America's Cup grandstand wankers get nasty.
Team New Zealand fans in Bermuda are aghast. I love that word. At the sour grapes attitude of Oracle supporters after the displays of patriotism were targeted by vandals over the weekend. Simon Hull, who is, just remember that word, vandals. Simon Hull, who is among a group of eight Kiwi fans to make the trip to Bermuda for the America's Cup, had decorated the front grounds of their accommodation with New Zealand flags and silver fern bunting. The display had been in place for 3 weeks until yesterday morning when they awoke to find that it had been torn down. Hull said it had been slashed with a knife. You could see where the knife had gone through. I'm sure you've got a couple of points on this. Before you get into your couple of points, can I just make a couple of points?
Yeah, as long as you put a pin in my couple of points and we get back to it.
I'm just going to put a pin on that. In fact, can I just zip it up with a Ziploc bag, chuck it on the freezer and keep it fresh because it'd be good to come back to it in just a couple of minutes. Vandals, you've put the bunting up in the first place.
Yeah.
Many people would consider it almost like litter. And some people have pulled it down. It's hardly vandalising anything.
Yeah.
It's just pulling some bunting down.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you know that's actually Oracle support?
Well, it's way more likely to be Bermuda, the citizens of Bermuda, who don't like Team New Zealand very much because Team New Zealand's gone over there to take the cup away from them. Because if Oracle win, then it stays in Bermuda. If New Zealand win, then it'll probably come back to Auckland. So when they do vox pops on the street, the people of Bermuda don't like Team New Zealand.
Are they multi-hull supporters who are terrified of the fact that New Zealand are going to bring it back to New Zealand, the cup, if they do win, and turn it back into a mono-hull boar fest?
Well, possibly. Did you see the Heroes Day parade in Bermuda yesterday?
Do they have a hero parade over there?
It's not a hero parade in to do with AIDS and gays like we have it in New Zealand. That sounded terrible, calling it the hero parade about AIDS
and
gays.
To do with gays and AIDS, yeah. But it's celebrating sexual diversity.
Do you know that they've added another letter to the LGBTQ community?
No, what is it?
It includes gays and lesbians and stuff of colour.
What?
Yeah.
But aren't they gay and lesbian?
Yeah, well, they're just adding so many numbers. Letters to it. They're going to have the whole alphabet.
But
by the
haven't
time.
They got LGBTQ?
Yeah. So
and isn't there Isn't there C O G A L? Which is the children of gay and lesbians as well. They've chucked them in too.
Have they?
Yeah. Did you not read about that? I read about that recently. There's also children of gay and lesbians chucked in that community now.
So it's currently the L.
Yep.
Lesbian.
Yep.
Bi.
Yeah. L.
Gay.
Or L G.
L.
Lesbian. Gay. Bi.
B, T.
Q. Trannies.
Q.
Who's Q?
Queers.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, isn't it?
I know, but you can't define how people, what they call themselves. And now, and then you've got
C.
C.
O.
O.
Get G.
Yep.
A. L.
A. L.
Children of gay and lesbian as well.
And
so
now
it's LGBTQC. O G A L.
And now they've added another letter for people of colour that are gay and lesbian. But anyway, that's by the by, Jerry.
Why are we talking about that?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Why are we talking about that?
Because they had a hero parade.
Oh, they had the hero parade.
But their hero parade is about the heroes of Bermuda that do good in the community, because it used to be Queen's birthday something. I can't remember. It used to be Queen's birthday week, and they stopped celebrating that, and they moved it to another day to celebrate the heroes of Bermuda. But anyway, it just means that everyone in Bermuda that's female puts on sort of a bikini and some, like, boas and dances down the street. It looks heaps of fun. And then everyone they asked on the Vox Pops, they said, who are you supporting? They said, Tim Oracle. You know?
Right.
They didn't like New Zealanders.
Right.
But no, we do.
Well, the reason they don't like New Zealanders is two reasons.
Why?
Probably most of them don't know where it is.
Yep.
And America's very close.
Yep.
Secondly, Oracle's been there for ages. They practiced over there and stuff, so yeah, they probably get a bit of support going, and they probably brought a bit of money in.
And going back to my original point, New Zealand's trying to take the cup off.
They're going to keep it there. So why the hell would you support New Zealand?
Yeah, and so it's more likely to be Bermuda citizens that are defacing the flags of another country in their country than it is to be Oracle supporters that are probably just a bunch of rich wankers that aren't really that into caring. They just want to have a cocktail and sit on a boat.
It's good to be the bad guys every now and then, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Still, Burling, what a great New Zealander.
Oh, what a great New Zealander. And as for Tuke,
Tuke, massive dog roll.
Matt Heath and Jeremy Wells, the Hauraki Breakfast.
Talking about the bunting in Bermuda.
And Simon Hull, who's some grandstand wanker over there from New Zealand watching the America's Cup. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm massively excited about Team New Zealand. We're doing well. It's something that we can all be proud of. Brilliant, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, they're supported by Emirates. So it's Emirates Team New Zealand. So as far as the people of Bermuda are concerned, it's Arab.
It's a collab.
It's a collab between Arabia Oil and some country they've never heard of. And so you don't know who slashed up the New Zealand flag. And second to your point you made in the break, Jerry, what about Liverpool fans? You know, what do they do to Manchester fans, you know?
Oh, exactly.
And
we're not used to being disliked, are we?
No, we can't handle it.
No.
And a third point on why these flags might have been cut up is because Bermuda does not have a very happy relationship historically with Britain.
Their colonial, former colonial power.
And you may have noticed in the corner of the New Zealand flag is a massive Union Jack. To the point, as I was saying before, they do their hero parade, which is celebrating people in Bermuda. It was yesterday, celebrating people in Bermuda that have done great stuff in the community. And that's because they stopped celebrating Queen's birthday weekend. So they prevented another day at another time where they celebrated the heroes of Bermuda because of Bermuda basically being totally punished by the British, by England back in the day.
Well, that's right. In fact, Bermuda was a former slave place.
Yeah.
So, so probably the British flag is probably not when you... It's probably the worst thing you can wave around.
And add to that, if New Zealand's come over there to take the America's Cup away that has been built up there and all this investment over there for a long time and take it to Auckland. So Simon Hull, don't act like it's some kind of hate crime against you. Just chill out. You lost a couple of $2 flags. You know, just get back to being a wanker in the stands and drinking your beers and just looking like a bit of a wanker.
I still think as well it could have just been some kids wandering home drunk from a pub who just thought, you know, what are those flags doing there? And just pull that down.
What are you saying? It might not be huge historical references.
No.
It might be not I'm not thinking that the Oracle fans are rabid kind of knife-carrying flag slashers.
No, I can't imagine that they've really got to. I think probably in Simon Hull's mind, or in a lot of New Zealanders' mind who are massively supportive of the situation, very patriotic people, they think that Jimmy Spittle is driving around in a van at night looking for any kind of support because it's upsetting him. and slashing it. It's actually him, or maybe Russell Coates, who's betrayed his own country.
You think it's kooks out there?
That's what people are trying to think.
Yeah, they're trying to make it into a more heightened competition than it is.
Yeah.
Very competitive on the water, but you don't have the die. It's not like Melbourne Aussie rules, you know.
Where no.
You're born into your suburb and you get it tattooed on your back, you know. It's not that height.
No.
There's been some punishing podcasts that I've heard in my time, but nothing like that wounding stuff we've just been listening to. Yeah, hopefully the second half is a more high level and less bottom feeding than that punishing, japsy wounding, punishing bollocks we've just had. Just one second, we've stupidly unplugged Ash Thomas's microphone, which makes it very hard for her to deliver the news, and Jerry can't work out how to use the cannon to jack. Oh, look. Jesus, amateur out here. Amateur. Jerry, you're trying to put the cannon to jack in the wrong way.
Here you go.
Thank you. All right, should we start that again? Can we?
Yeah, let's start.
We need your stick.
One moment. Hold caller.
You're in.
Let's start that again.
All right.
This is Hodaki. News.
Kia ora, Ash Thomas here with your Hauraki headlines at 7:30. Two people are unaccounted for after their house was destroyed in a fire in Nelson this morning. Former Green MP Sue Bradford thinks New Zealand could have a far-left political party by the 2020 election. Dairy prices have dropped for the first time in 4 months by 0.8% at the global auction overnight. To sport, Chiefs coach Dave Rennie says they struggled to find the kryptonite to the Lions' rush defence in last night's 34-6 loss in Hamilton. He says they tried to get quick ball off the ruck, but the Lions slowed it down to stop that. And Warriors halfback Sean Johnson's not expecting any drastic changes with Stacey Jones as a new attack coach. He says they're already comfortable with their approach halfway through the season. Those are your Hauraki headlines. More in half an hour.
Thank you so much, Ash Thomas. And can I personally apologise for not plugging your mic in there? That was my fault. I've moved the mics around because we've got these amazing new mics that come up from the desk.
Yeah,
living in the future.
And it's so exciting. We were so excited by it. And I changed mine over, my arm mic with your mic. And next thing you know, I forgot to plug it in. And actually, it's not an easy plug to get in.
No, it is. But you just get it around the wrong way. You have to look where the pins are. And you were just trying to force it around the wrong way. No, if you're just taking your time instead of rushed. In those kind of situations, Jerry, you've got to slow down and make sure the movements that you do the right movements, rather than just trying to jam in the wrong movements. You
know, I understand that, but I mean, in the hustle bustle and the pressure of live radio,
yeah,
I failed. Well, so I failed you, Ash, and I apologise for that. I feel terrible.
Can I just say I don't accept that apology? Do you accept that apology, Ash?
Look, it's not to you. The apology was not to you; it was to Ash.
Well, you know, I think the real issue here is you stealing other people's microphones. Where is the respect?
Yeah. Well, what? Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Because you didn't ask Ash.
I wasn't insulted.
You didn't ask Ash if you could
take your
microphone.
What's going on here? I just come in and, where's my microphone? Oh, it doesn't even work.
I thought you might like this one with an arm.
Well, don't assume.
Also, I'll get you some new headphones because these ones are terrible that you've got on here.
Oh. It's the Fact Factor.
I've been caught because I've got your...
Now you go back to your...
I was wearing your lanyard.
It was a creepy way you put a lanyard on. I felt it creepy how you sat at her seat and put a lanyard on and started.
I wanted to see what it was like to be here.
You started sitting like her.
Yeah.
Sitting upright.
What's wrong? I just wanted to see what it's like to be here. What's wrong with that? Okay, time for the
Buffalo
fact,
Bill.
Time for the fact that I wasn't doing a mangina dance. Now that would have been creepy.
You had that look on the face that you get on your face when you do a mangina dance.
Time for the fact factor. Here's how it works. I'll come up with the topic. Matt comes up with three facts on that topic. We'll judge whether they're good or bad and work out whether he has the fact factor. In light of Dubai's roads and transport authority, joining force with a German company called Volocopter to trial a fleet of air taxis in October this year. This morning, Matt, I want transportation-related facts. I know how much you love transportation-related
facts. You've sucked the life out of the Blitz vs. Jizzer with transport infrastructure songs.
I love infrastructure. I love civil engineering. One plane fact, one train fact, please, Matt, and one automobile fact. Are you ready to play the fact factor?
Yes, and can I just say one of my favourite movies of all time is Planes, Trains and Automobiles. What a great movie, that John Hughes classic.
Is that a fact?
No.
Okay.
It is a fact, but it's not part of the fact.
What's your plane fact?
In the year after 9/11, 1,600 people were killed in car accidents in America as a result of the fear of flying. That's over half of the death toll from the attack on the World Trade Center, Jerry. See what I'm saying here? Because people are scared to fly, so they drove in their cars. But driving in cars is so much more dangerous than flying in a plane. So it resulted in the death of 1,600 people.
I don't remember that fact.
Fact, you Heath. That's fact.
Well, how can you quantify it? How can you actually tell that?
Well, you work out how many more people weren't flying.
Mm.
And then how many more people die.
So the road toll went up.
Yeah.
By 1,600
people.
Oh, well, that's a great fact, but I've already made the decision there, so unfortunately I can't go back on it now.
Punisher.
What's your train fact, Nat?
The star of Blues Brothers and Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd, dislikes flying so much he travels in his own private train car. It's called the Patron Tequila Express. And American rail company Amtrak pulls it around the country when he needs to go somewhere.
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
Kim Jong-il, he was a big fan, wasn't he, of the train?
Yeah.
In fact, he had his own, like, giant train, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, Kim Jong-il, when he kidnapped those two actors, the Korean actors out of Hong Kong, and made them make movies, it was the director and the actress, the director wrote a script which involved two trains smashing into each other, and Kim Jong-il just went, okay, we'll get two trains and we'll smash them into
each other. And they're not going to CGI it?
No, we're just going to do it. And they did it. And apparently looked great.
Yeah. All right, you're back on track. One good, one bad fact. What is your third and final automobile fact?
The sound of the Star Wars TIE fighters flying through space was made by mixing an elephant's call into the sound of a car driving on wet roads. Jesus, it is so. Can we hear that again? That's exactly what it sounds like when you hear it.
Wow.
That guy that did all the sounds for Star Wars, he was incredible.
Wow.
Because lasers are, of course, banging a stick on, fencing, wire fencing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, look, that's a great...
What a fact! That has the fact factor.
So did I win today?
You won today.
Oh, brilliant. That's good, because if I'd lost, the hopes and dreams of the Fact Factor Mega Weekly Prize Pack Facebook faithful would have been dashed.
G'day, Mr. Arse and Titties. How are you?
Wow. What a great fact, guys.
Thanks, thank you, Mr. Arse and Titties. He's like a hype guy.
Oh, I love Mr. Arse and Titties.
Yeah, he's just,
so pumped.
Yeah. He's awesome. Look at Mr. Arse. Thanks, Mr. Arse and Titties. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, tell you what.
What a great New Zealander.
Thanks for sitting through another Matt and Jerry show on Radio Hauraki.
This podcast was brought to you by our bloody great mates at MyRepublic, the internet service provider that knows no limits. And when you sign up to MyRepublic using the promo code PODCAST, you will get 1 month free on top of what's already a bloody great deal.
MyRepublic. Like us at times, they know no limits.